Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat not, financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it.
Today on the All About Affordable NFT podcast, we are talking about some mechanics that include forge versus breed mechanics of NFTs, and the deflationary and inflationary elements that brings to games and the implications on the project. As we get into it, Andrew, anything interesting in the news?
Yeah, let's see what is going on. There's always a lot going on. Unfortunately, I found news.
I found news. All right, so here's some quick things, and you can tell me what you think about them. The NFL is dropping NFT ticket collectibles. And so it's that intersection of real world, NFT world, and they're doing it, it seems like, on the Polygon chain and a little bit through Ticketmaster wallets, which is interesting because that's bringing on a lot of new people into NFTs. It's an onboarding ramp and a big one at that, because guess what? If there's money to be made, other venues and event types will follow.
Yeah, that is big. The NFL has been quite successful at finding ways to get fans and collectors to spend more and more over the years. So that is big. And Ticketmaster as well. I didn't realize they had a wallet for these things. I'm sure we'll start seeing more and more of these. That will be interesting to see what these wallets turn out to be. I think we'll have different terms of of what a crypto wallet is versus what these digital wallets are that just sort of hold assets and maybe cannot be moved around quite as easily as they could be on other platforms.
Another one that popped up on my radar is Hello Kitty becoming an NFT, which is just funny.
Not too surprising. I think there's a ton of collectors. It seems rather obvious that there should be a play there. Collectors, lots of, sort of nostalgia, I would think, for some of the older stuff there at this point too. So I could see that doing well. But yeah, as you said, it's just another sign of it becoming more mainstream.
A final piece that came across is the, you know, we talked about Quentin Tarantino's NFTs that launched, which was Pulp Fiction. And it looks like Miramax is not happy.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised. As I was sitting there listening to him talk about it, I was wondering how much of this had been discussed with the rest of it, because he didn't seem to fully understand what he was selling. So yeah, if you're just buying a digital copy of the physical thing, I'm not sure what it is. So there should be more there, but I don't think that they necessarily can convey the rights to anything beyond just a picture of the script. So not too surprising that one happened. I did want to mention that.
So just to be clear, Miramax is suing him, right? It's an active lawsuit saying like, not so fast, fella, you can't sell our property.
Yeah, because I think that's their property, I think, is what they're saying. I mean, they're claiming it's the intellectual property there.
Well, it would be akin to saying like, I'm going to go sell Pulp Fiction shirts as Quentin Tarantino. These are official like Pulp Fiction shirts.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You remember when we paid you money?
I still haven't fully heard what the secret part of his NFT is here. It's supposed to be a secret NFT. It sounds like we won't find out.
Deleted scene or something from this, but I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure how that works, other than it's just a file that hasn't been released to the public, I guess, and you don't see it before you buy it.
And it's your option to share or not share it, assuming it didn't even go through.
Right. So, you know, that seems somewhat antithetical to the sort of open data, transparent nature of the metaverse and Web3 and everything. Anyway, I'm not I'm not real big on the privacy NFTs. It doesn't seem to make much sense to me. If you don't want anybody to know about it, it's probably not best to have it on a network where anybody can see that someone transacted and bought or sold it. But that one won't be happening anyway, so we won't have to worry about it in that case.
Yeah, well, I bring it up not just for sensational news, but also because of the intersection of law, property rights, and the intersection of NFTs, which is woefully unexplored thus far. So, you know, these types of things set precedents that I pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely.
In other news, I joined Team Mooncat. I bought a Mooncat, and I know you have already 4 of them, and I was excited to ape into that.
I'm glad. Yeah, this is an old project. Came out back in 2017. There are a lot of Mooncats around. They've been moved around to different contracts, and a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago that they were only available for buying and selling on their own marketplace and on the Mooncat boutique. Or I'm sorry, the Mooncat marketplace. But then somebody figured out how to wrap them, these contracts, so that they could be moved over to a more modern contract, an ERC 721 contract, sold on OpenSea. But then those actually got moved over one more time. So it's been quite a journey for these Mooncats. Some have been left behind, but now they are welcoming Mostly Stable George as a new Mooncat family member. One of the best things about, yeah, go ahead, George. What do you like about the Mooncats?
The one thing I appreciate about the internet is that it's mostly cat driven. And so the opportunity to get into what I think is the original cat NFT, I feel like has value. And you turned me onto this when you started talking about the upcoming Coinbase marketplace, which still I hope is news that it will launch, but that will probably be one of those things that is listed. And, you know, we danced with it being an affordable project or not, you know, where it is, like we're, if it gets below 5, we'll say it's an affordable project.
0.5.
0.5. Thank you. 0.5.
That's a very good clarification there. So they're about 0.62 right now. They have gotten up. I've seen it where the floor has gotten up close to 2 at times, and it's come back down quite a bit. But yeah, I'm excited about the potential of it getting on Coinbase. You know, that's definitely been a good catalyst for various tokens over the years. Not saying that will necessarily be the same with NFTs, but it is one of the more affordable projects that's coming onto their platform. It's also got a lot of history. There are a lot of old time collectors that have been in this for ages, you know, years and years now, that have these in their wallets, and I'm sure are not necessarily looking to sell them anytime soon. So I think it could go on a little run if things if they do start getting some good exposure. I'm excited about them as well. I actually just got a Mooncat Pop vending machine, which I'm sure makes no sense to anyone that just listened to that. There's only about 50 owners right now. It's a very small group. This is a virtual soda vending machine. I designed a can that matches or that features one of my cats. I picked one from my only one from 2017. So one of the OG cats, and it's on this can. I will then be able to sell these cans as NFTs. You collect the cans. There's, I think it's 56 or so different vending machines. So there's all these cans that you could collect. There could be more utility beyond that. I haven't figured out.
So I can buy cans from your vending machine.
That's right. You can buy in my can. Of course, we talked about this on a recent episode. I've featured the wag me phrase on the can. I love that phrase. I put that right on the can, that as maybe the flavor. You know, I can't say, I've seen some really impressive cans that I'm a little jealous. I didn't
think of the creative idea, but you had to get it done, right?
Yeah, I'm happy that I got it done. So, of course, there's a DAO around this. The Moon, we'll see what it's called. The Meow DAO is one option that's been floated around. And, you know, George is right. The cat economy is strong on the internet. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And the memes in this cat Discord are, wow, there's a lot of them. I had no idea there were so many, but people get very excited about cats.
Yeah. Again, this is not financial advice, just sharing the news because it was a big purchase for me. This isn't even our affordable project.
No, I'll have more news about the vending machine. I got to think people are coming up with great ideas to reward their collectors. So I got
to have to get one of your cans.
I got to think of something. What's gonna bring someone like George over to buy my can, you know, to my vending machine? I got to think of what am I going to do for my collectors? So I got to give it some thought. I'll get back to you on that one.
All right.
I think we got to move on here. Enough
We're
cat
just
talk.
Lost in this. All right. Our affordable project you have brought us, not cats, but Top Dog Beach Club.
Well, right. If it's not cats, it must be dogs, right? Whether it's you know, Doge or Shiba or whatever it may be. But this one, we've just got little cartoon dogs. Top Dog Beach Club. Let's see, I think it's actually a collection of 7,500. It says 8,000, but as they explain, there's 500 that were burned. So they're sitting at an address. They aren't, you know, they technically exist, but aren't accessible anymore. So 7,500 of these, floor price right now is 0.16. Yep. Okay. So it's still about what I thought it was when I recommended that. Let's see. They are cartoon dogs.
French bulldogs, to be specific, I think.
There we go. There is a passive income. I believe it's passive income. I haven't actually looked if you have to claim the token. There is a token that goes along with these. I don't know if you have to claim daily or if it's one that will just passively accumulate in the wallet. That it would be something to look into, because claiming daily is, well, it sounds easy, easy to forget.
Easy.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot of work in the sense that you don't have to do much, but it is something you have to do each day, and to remember to do it is a lot more than just letting it sit there. It's not passive. So I would like to look into which one that is. It's been around for a little,
July of this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've got a really good following on Twitter. It's about 23,000. The price did come up, you know, did go up a little bit higher. It hasn't ever really gone, I mean, it's never gone crazy. It's still generally very affordable, being only a little over the mint price. I believe the mint price was 0.1. So with a floor of 0.16, we're not too far off of that still. I'd like to take another look. The number of owners is, maybe somewhat small at 2,800 for a collection of 7,500, but it's not, I wouldn't say that's terribly small. George, what are you seeing? This is a new one for you, I presume.
Yeah. So I'm seeing a pretty strong roadmap that they have in here. And, you know, it includes things like play to earn. There's some charitable donations that, you know, it's kind of nice to see. They have the snacks, utility token. Yeah, I'm just kind of like going through of like, look, I just want to make sure that the momentum and the vision is there, because that's really what these things are about. There are 8,000 members in the Discord, which is, you know, it's small-ish, and 1,000 just currently online. So there are people in there. So it is an active, what I'll call, Discord there. So, you know, it's got a lot of health indicators. It has survived the initial mint trough of sorrow. It has had a mini boom cycle. So, you know, what you want for projects that have sort of had some time to rest out there is, can they make it to this Lindy effect where there's still an active community willing to hold, promote, and continue the project as the founders, right? Because one of those things you need is
if the founders give up, you know, you don't have a project anymore. And we have some of ours that certainly have gone that way. So this is more interesting than I thought it'd be. I will say that.
Yeah, I do not have one of these at this point to clarify. Started looking into it a bit. So just want to make that clear. Yeah, I'm looking again at the numbers. So back, it did run up a little bit higher, like up to 0.3, maybe even 0.5 at one point as an average. But for the most part, has been under that like 0.25-ish average price. It has started to come up just recently. It had gone as low as average 0.13 or so. So we'll see where it goes. The number of holders has been slightly increasing over time, which I would say is generally a good thing. I do recognize some big holder or big collector names among the biggest holders here. So it's one that I'm going to look into a little bit more. I, like I said, don't have any yet. I'm not ready to say that I'm going to buy one, but it's definitely not off my list yet. Gonna check into this one a little bit more.
Yeah. Interestingly, you know, you can learn a lot by the attributes. There's a lot of time and attention paid to, you know, strength, mischievousness, intelligence, friendliness, birth, aggressiveness, and then visual attributes. So they, like they're, this is not just like sort of like an artistic one and done. It's clear that they've got some plans in here. I don't see a huge amount of delta between around rarity, huge being like there's no like massive pieces going for, you know, multiple Ethereum while the floor is different. So there's, you know, probably you're safe hunting in the floor area. Scary stuff. Thanks for bringing it to us.
Maybe one to try to look at if you can get something that is listed lower than it should be, maybe.
I would, you know, fish on bids here. Don't pay for the
don't
gas.
Need to be too aggressive if you are getting into this one, at least at this time. By the time this comes out, who knows what the situation could be. if it's any good, then it probably isn't worth, you know, then it's probably too late. And if it hasn't gone anywhere, then I don't know. Should you listen to us? Who knows? We are talking about a bunch of JPEG dogs.
Yeah,
after all.
JPEG dogs. That's a good point. Remember. Alrighty, today, you know, just to continue our conversation, even though we've spent most of this time on other fun topics, the forge versus breed as a dynamic. High level, Andrew, what do those two things actually mean in the land of NFT?
We're either making new NFT, well, we could be making new NFTs and eliminating existing NFTs. Some combination of that, I would say. When we're forging, we may be bringing two together to make one new one. When we're breeding, could just be probably not losing anything, probably just making something new from those. Hopefully, if done well, I would say it's using attributes from the two or more breeding parts. I wouldn't say that's always the case. If it's a somewhat weak project that is just, you know, kind of using the terms versus trying to use the technology of really breeding or blending the pieces together. It's definitely common in Zed. You do a lot of breeding. We've talked about a bit on another podcast or another show here. And you've gone in depth on the cost of breeding. How do you look at breeding versus forging? And what is an example of forging for a project that you've looked at?
Well, an example for forging actually will be coming up in Omnimorphs coming part. And
good one.
Yeah,
but still,
like, how do we
still
put
have
two
to
parts
talk
together?
About that, huh?
Still got to bring that up. How do you bring those two parts together? And you go from two to one, and you're essentially burning one or burning both and minting a new contract, which is actually probably technically more accurate, I'd say. And there is also sort of the idea that you could forge it, but burn it to get the governance token or coin of the project. I am much more familiar with like sort of like the breeding concept. I'll be honest there. And like your point is well taken of like, you know, does it include elements of both parts to create something new and interesting? The pieces that I pay much more attention to, I think, is the fact that with forging, you have a deflationary dynamic, which means there will be less total volume. And in the land of scarcity, theoretically, the less there is, the more value potentially the project will accumulate over time. So an individual piece being, you know, one of 10,000 versus one of 8,000 suddenly carries a different value to it. And that's a big one that, you know, I wanted to bring this topic because of understanding, are there, at a very fundamental level, this seems obvious, going to be more of the thing you're buying or less of the thing you're buying based on the attribute? And namely, is it the Genesis version of it, the original mint, or is it something that has been bred? And this is the original of that is CryptoKitties. And there are how many of those, like hundreds of thousands? Is it in
there? I don't know. Yeah. It's some huge number. I that's one that I've never really gotten too into because it's such a huge number. It was always so, so confusing to me, which ones could possibly hold value versus the bulk of them that really didn't hold any value. And, you know, they definitely had a problem with that. A lot of projects have learned from that because at this point you see that there's really a small percentage that hold any value. And we've talked about this a little bit with Zed because there are a huge number of horses. There are a lot that really aren't providing much value. You can't race them much, you know, and they're just kind of in your stable. And that's not a great experience for the user to just have these, you know, and then to have to sort of filter through these. Could you see some sort of deflationary measure ever like coming to that? How would you see that being, you know, how do you see deflationary measures being used well in projects?
Well, what happens if you have inflation? And speaking as an American citizen, I'm quite concerned about inflation, where you just have an overabundance in supply of something. Right now in Zed, it is crash the floor of horses. And, you know, it's something that the team is aware of, and they've actually corrected the breeding price and lowered the breeding price right now to USD and not track Ethereum. And there is in the roadmap something where they're going to allow, you know, be it the horse is going to be sold for tokens or potentially bring back what they once had, which was an experimental coin, sort of DES token is what it was called when they had it in operation. Bring that back. And so potentially you have the ability to burn a horse in exchange for a token that can be used for skins, that could be used for potentially lowering breeding costs. They are absolutely paying attention to it. You know, with them, they've been in the game for, you know, a few years. There are over 130,000 horses, so quite a bit. But a big lesson that I've like learned the hard way here that I really wanted to make sure landed is that if you're buying into an inflationary dynamic, if you see the word breeding in a roadmap and you're getting in there, be very clear at how quickly the asset that you buy, if it is not a Gen Zero, if it is not the first mint, there are going to be more and more and more of those and the price is going to drop. So I actually bought into some exclusive Nakamotos that at the time were fairly rare. If you're talking in the summer, I was like, oh, this is great. I can make more of them. It like fit my breeding, theory, until, you know, there were thousands more of them the very next week. And I was like, oh no. And the price just kept dropping. So as you're looking into these games, and we talked about our featured project the other day, which is the Red Village, why I was interested in it is like, you know, a chance to get and buy Genesis elements because they're going to have a breeding option as well as it comes up. And so if you believe in a project over time, knowing nothing, pay attention to where the generation is and how it's minted, because the people that play the game over time will inherently have value in those older and those original pieces versus the generated ones.
Yeah, agreed. I think it is, you know, you have to worry a lot more about the inflationary measures when those are present. I guess just the inflationary effects. I'm saying when the breeding measures are in place, it's crazy how fast the inventory can increase. You don't really think about, you think that only a small number of people may be interested in doing that. And, you know, you're not the only one thinking about this, generally speaking. You know, a lot of people have calculated, you know, some kind of return coming from this breeding and have spent thinking that they will get something out of it. So they're going to be quick to do it. They know that they better act fast. And in many cases, there's a lot more people willing to list and these bred pieces than are willing to buy them. It isn't, you know, it's not going to be the same number of buyers. It is a different, it's different than the original pieces. And, you know, they a lot oftentimes won't have the same breeding mechanics. They'll have other disadvantages. They may not have the same attributes, but definitely we'll have much more competition in terms of listings. So you've got to worry about that. And it's definitely worth considering getting into earlier versions or earlier generations of a project if there is an opportunity to do so in order to stay away from some of these issues, I'd say.
Yeah. And if I could wind back the clock, and this is just the kind of thing that only experience can beat you across the head and teach you. But if I were to wind back the clock to the summer when it really was profitable to breed because they had opened it up, and in those first days where the market's catching up, like, you know, I wouldn't have kept a single bred horse. I really would have just sold them all for as much as I could or wherever the floor was and rolled that back into breeding more. And if I was buying, I would be looking for Genesis horses, because those, fortunately, my like purchases of Genesis horses, like when I did have that sort of moment of clarity, like that's where the actual value of my stable is at this point. It wasn't the like any sort of bred horse I bought at all. So like never buy what you can breed would be like one sort of like thing to put in the back of your mind. And then when possible, buy Genesis original, whatever that mint is when you're looking at these projects, and have a bias toward that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good tip. You know, try to be the one creating the pieces that people are still fighting over, rather than you know, get that second or even often third level piece that's going to lose value a lot faster.
Yeah, you know, you're catching a knife, because whatever that floor is, the fundamental thing is the person you bought it from can create another exact one of those things.
And another.
And another.
Yeah. That is the problem. Well, I think that's a pretty good explanation of the two mechanics. You know, they're talked about often, definitely used in a lot of marketing speak, and not always necessarily clarified as to how that will affect the collectors, the holders, the project as a whole. And it's, you know, it's important to try to think about what those dynamics actually do to a project.
All right, those were all my notes. Any final points?
No, that's all for me.
All right, well, I'll see you out there on the moon with my moon cat.
That's right.
This has been an episode of the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com. In our show notes, again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. Hope you learned something.